Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Jason, you and Jalen have done a great job this season of like taking what the defense gives you. That progression going from maybe early in your career focusing on just scoring to being like an offensive hub, what's that been like behind the scenes, especially this season when you guys added so much talent?
It's been great. I think, like you said, just the progression over the years of getting better and getting better at reading the game. Understanding how to play off each other as well as our teammates and picking our spots. Just trying to make the game easier for ourselves and everybody else.
The second hour of KJ and Lyons on WEEI. Good Saturday to you. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We're about 15 minutes away from Negro Leagues Baseball Museum President Bob Kendrick to talk MLB The Show 24. That's Jason Tatum. Talking about him and Jaylen Brown. Look, it's very hard, John, to try and put the Jordan Pippen moniker on these two guys because it's not fair to them and to Jordan and Pippen. But in an era now where people haven't seen or don't remember the Jordan Pippen dynamic, this is the closest to it because A, it's homegrown. B, they're now starting to fit like a left and a right hand versus both people want to be the right hand. Does it make sense?
Yeah, I know. I would maybe, like, would you compare it more to Stephen Clay as a more recent example? Like, two guys that do play off each other really well, albeit different positions. I just think anyone to Jordan and Pippen, I think that's just unfair.
The reason why I don't do that is because Clay and Steph are just pure shooters. If you're going to tell me that Clay is going to beat you off the dribble better than Jaylen Brown, I'll be like, no. If you think you're going to tell me that Jason Tatum can't take it to the post the way that, you know, that doesn't exist when you're talking about Clef and Stay. Oh, gosh. Did I just do that? I'm not having a stroke, right?
That's okay.
But the games, because Jordan, a guard who could play as a wing, Pippen, a wing who could play as a guard, are very much what Brown and Tatum are. These guys are interchangeable parts in that 2, 3, 4, 5, 4 range, right? So that's why I would say they're closer to that.
That was a big question when they brought these guys in, like, hey, two wings. Like, how are your two best players both going to be wing players? Like, excuse me, should you draft someone else to complement Brown better at the time, or should you trade Brown to someone that will complement Tatum? Like, that was a big question for, I feel like, the first, like, 4 full years. They work together, you know. Then they go to the finals.
And Gordon Hayward didn't help the situation either.
Definitely not. And a ball dominant Kyrie didn't help either. And then they finally go to the finals, but they don't win. So that question still persist a little. And I feel like now, even if they don't win the NBA Finals this year, obviously I would consider that, you know, a disappointment, a failure. But I wouldn't look at it as, oh, it's because they have these two wings. I would probably look at it a much different reason why they didn't win.
So talking about the playoff probabilities at Basketball Reference, they do like 10,000 simulations of what could be the worst that can happen and what's the best that could happen. So right now, 100%, I've never heard of anything called 100% chance to win the East, and that's because there's just not enough games to catch, okay? 76% chance to win the Eastern Conference. In other words, they're saying whoever this 24% is, it must be one team, and I think they're probably thinking it's Milwaukee. Okay?
Unless Embiid gets healthy. Because like that Sixers team with Embiid and Maxey was awesome earlier this year, but again,
but they're at eight right now.
Yeah.
They're. I mean, they still have a little breathing room to stay away from play-in material, right? But I mean, right now they're the eighth seed, so clearly, what are you going to get Embiid to try and get a couple of play-in games, or what if he goes down in one of these play-in games? Now you're talking about your franchise is pretty much ruined. So I still say there's no Embiid coming back. If that's the case, you would have at least made some deal to shore up some things until he got back. I don't think he comes back. To win the finals, the Celtics, this number is going up. 60.2%. 60.2%.
Yeah, so and I think they're the favorites, but even I feel like that might be a touch high.
So let's look at what the favorites are in the West. Like, we're not even going to look at the East, okay? If you really believe, and I really believe, the Celtics will come out of the East, I think that Milwaukee has to do too much to put it together. And this is where, if you're like an anti-Doc Rivers guy, you're walking right into it. You're like, oh, Doc's got to make a decision in a seven-game series, and still trying to get this team up to speed? I don't believe it. So let's go to the West, and I'm going to do 1, 2, 3, 4. Celtics in a best-of-seven-game series. Who you got and how many games? Okay? Oklahoma City.
So I would take the Celtics in five, but I think it would be like all five games would be hard fought, you know, within 10 points and maybe one blowout, but pretty much all of them within 10 points hard fought. Because that game they played on January 3rd, that felt like an NBA Finals game. And OKC won it, but it felt like, hey, if the Celtics got these guys in a series, there would be a lot of games like that. But the Celtics would win, I think, 4 out of 5.
Okay, so they're in almost like a statistical tie with the number two team, who I'll get to shortly. Let's move to Minnesota. Best of seven, because I agree with you. Five games, and I believe the Celtics would win it. I cannot disagree with anything you said there. Minnesota, who right now is sitting in a virtual two spot at three, how many games? Who you got?
Yeah, I would say a similar thing. I'd say five games. Like, I think Anthony Edwards and Carl Anthony, like, that wins you a game for Minnesota, but I just don't know if they have enough. Like, if it's a series where the Celtics can game plan for them and their Celtics are fully healthy, I don't think Minnesota has enough to really push them beyond five games.
Yeah, once Carl Anthony Towns went down and you don't know what it's going to take for him to get back, they're just a completely different team. The double big, I think, was just something that was kind of ingenious that has worked for them. It's been duplicated. The guy had come over from Denver. We'll get to Denver in a second because I think, you know, you start with and finish with the final answer. But I'm with you. Without Carl Anthony Towns, I would say five games. If it was with Carl Anthony Towns, I would say Celtics in six. So let's go to the Clippers, who have been kind of this developing, scary monster out West, who seem to have things together, and Russell Westbrook is out and still has a chance to return back to the bench. Who you got in the best of seven series and how many games?
Yeah, and this is an interesting one because they've played twice, and one time the Celtics won in a blowout, and the other time the Clippers won in a blowout. But both times the losing team was missing key guys. So it's tough to get a gauge on it. I think this Clippers team is the second best team in the West. Like, and I know the record is, but I think they'll end up being the second best team. I take the Celtics here, but I think it's six. I think it's a really hard fought six, which it's the NBA Finals. It should be. But I think the Clippers are the second. They're the first team that you've mentioned so far that, like, I could see having a real chance to beat the Celtics. I'd still take the Celtics in six, but the Clippers are the real deal.
I like the Celtics. It would go seven games, and I think probably the big difference is what Drew Holiday would be able to do to the backcourt. So that's where I think the difference would come in, where, like, Drew Holiday would be able to frustrate, because let's just call it what it is. You put him on James Harden. James Harden was frustrated last year. You put him on James Harden, that's a problem. You put him on Russell Westbrook, it's a problem for Westbrook. You even put him on Paul George, it frustrates him. So I would be concerned if, does Kawhi Leonard able to step up the defense? He probably shuts Jason Tatum down for a game. And I think that's what has it go to seven, but I think the Celtics win that in seven. So let's go to the statistical number one team in the West right now. It's Denver.
Big
Who you got?
Denver.
How many games?
So I have the Celtics in seven here, but I feel the least confident of that in all my picks.
Say that as because we're here in Boston, you've a lifelong fan of the Celtics. Like, is there an implicit bias with this?
There probably is a little bit of an implicit bias, but I do look at it as this is where I think more than any of these other matchups, the Celtics being so much better at home this year matters. Are they 30-3 at home right now? Mm-hmm. I think whereas last year they lost three games in the Eastern Conference Finals at home last year, and now they only have three. And because I think you're at maximum, the Celtics would win one game in Denver. So they're going to have to win their home games in that series. And because they're better at home this year, I would pick them to win in seven games. But I feel the least confident. And Denver, you know, has beat them twice. There are two games that could have gone either way. The Celtics could have won both, but they didn't. So I like the Celtics in seven there, but it's by far the prediction I'm least confident about.
Okay, hold your nose for this, but I'm just being honest, and it hurts to say this. Denver in six. See, because if the Celtics were able to get a split in the series this year, and you could say, well, you know, these are just regular season games, but you're saying, well, these are markers, and the same thing happened in both games. It came down to the last 2.5 minutes. And what happens in those last 2.5 minutes, I cannot see how Denver loses that series in seven games. Now, the other side of it is, Denver has a lot of guys who you really don't count on to do anything. All of them do something. The most dangerous thing for the Celtics is if one of the somethings do nothing. That's where I'm concerned in a series against Denver, is that Aaron Gordon, you're not expecting, you're probably like going into game plan, this guy's going to have maybe 5, 10, 6 points. He's going to have a ton of rebounds. But if he ends up with 12 points, like now somebody's not doing something, or these other ancillary guys that they've got. So even Jokic, he could have like a 12, 16, 10 game, and they beat you by 7 points.
Right. And that's the one team that... Like, if they lost to the other three teams, I would consider it a failure. If they lost to Denver in a hard-fought 6 or 7-game series, yeah, I'd be really disappointed. I wouldn't look at it as a failure as much as I would if they lost to
the other three. There would be more
understanding. Yeah, well, just it's the defending champs, and everything you just said is true. Denver's better than them in the last 2 minutes of games. Jokic is the best player in the world, and they have an elite complement to him in Jamal Murray and Aaron Gordon. And how about last year in the how good Christian
Porter
Brown
Jr.
was out of
yeah.
nowhere? Like right. that's something that you have to deal with if you're the Celtics. And the only thing about the Celtics is, like, I think Porzingis is a good defender. Right. Al Horford's a good defender. But they don't have a guy, and I don't think anybody in the NBA has a guy that really can actually match up against Jokic and
Bodies.
consistently have success. So that's something, like, that would be a big Joe Mazzulla series, because he would have to figure out a way for them to contain Jokic without having Aaron Gordon go off. Because I felt like that happened in the game they played a couple weeks ago in Denver, where whenever they would try to guard Jokic or
Michael Porter Jr. as well.
Yeah, Aaron Gordon's just wide open, right? Like, and that happened at the end of the game, too. So that's, to me, that would be, if the Celtics beat the Nuggets, that would be a big Joe Mazzulla series.
All right, KJ and Lyons. Next, we talk to Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and Major League Baseball 24. The show comes out Tuesday. We'll hear from him. He's actually out there with them, with the EA Sports people and everything. So he's next. Plus, we still talk Dynasty, the Patriots' lack of moves, and why free agents aren't moving. There's still a bunch of show to still come, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. All right, we're 30 seconds away from Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. We still have Dynasty to talk about. Series episodes 9 and 10 are out, so now you can see the complete situation. Look, I gotta give John Lyons credit due, and I'm gonna tell some inside baseball, and then we'll talk to Bob Kendrick here. John was the very first person at the station that reached out to Matthew Hamacek of Apple TV and the director, correct?
As far as I know, it was in early January, so yeah.
It was right, because nobody does anything like ahead of time, except for us here on the show.
Of course.
So I got to take my hats off to you, because now the guy's been on everybody's program, TV shows and everything like that, and it was just like, you know what? He lost his virginity to John Lyons.
Yes, okay, maybe and you know what? My way. Parents listening are very excited to hear that. But he was a good guest to have on, and I can't wait to talk more later about the series he created.
So, thank you so much, John. I also to tell you, you were able to get Matthew to give us all 10 episodes to see ahead of time. That's also on you. I know how to thank people when I want to thank them. And I also want to thank a longtime friend of mine, Mr. Bob Kendrick, joining us. He's the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum in Kansas City. And without, I guess, disclosing your location, you're out celebrating the launch of MLB 24, the show that comes out Tuesday. And I just want to take people back to understand how far the journey is, and then your great storytelling is going to take over this interview. Maybe about 20 years ago, the Negro Leagues Museum wasn't even a museum yet. It was a traveling exhibition. You remember these times, right, Bob?
Oh, no. It's almost impossible to forget the very humble roots of our organization that started in a little tiny one-room office in 1990 there at historic 18th and Vine, right, in Kansas City, under the watchful eye and leadership of the late, great John Jordan Buck O'Neill, who he and along with other local Negro Leaguers primarily, they literally took turns paying the monthly rent to keep their little office open. And with it, as I like to say, our dreams of one day building a museum not only that would celebrate the rich history of the Negro Leagues, but one of the greatest chapters in American history. And that started our journey. And of course, we're now in what I thought was going to be our permanent home, where we went from a one-room office to about 10,000 square feet of space, right, that chronicles the story. But as you probably both know, last year we announced our plans to build a brand new 30,000 square foot Negro League Baseball Museum right around the corner from where we operate now, and build it adjacent to the former Paseo YMCA, where the Negro Leagues were established in 1920.
That's right.
And create what I call, guys, our nation's first ever Negro Leagues campus as the gateway into historic 18th and Vine, and thusly creating an international headquarters for both black baseball and social history. So that's a long way from that little one-room office in 1990.
And Bob, one of the biggest stories in baseball this year was Shohei Ohtani and his free agency. Obviously, being a pitcher and a hitter at such a high level, many people viewed that as something that had not happened since Babe Ruth's time. But you would know well, there were many players in the Negro Leagues who did that. One guy who stands out to me is Hilton Smith. His 1938 mm-hmm. season was phenomenal, both at the plate and on the mound. For those that maybe aren't aware, could you just give a little education about Hilton Smith and how he did something that Shohei Ohtani is doing now?
Hilton Smith was one of several great two-way stars in the Negro Leagues. And Hilton is sometimes hard for me to describe because I'm sure I do a terrible job because I say he had the misfortune of being on the same team with Satchel. And that's not to demean Satchel by any stretch, but when Satchel Paige walked in the room, you knew he was in the room. Hilton Smith was the polar opposite. He was very quiet, unassuming, but lethal on the mound. I mean, Hilton Smith, fellas, did something that I don't think we'll ever see done in the game of baseball again. He won 20 games or more, 12 consecutive years. And during that stretch, he might have been the best baseball pitcher in any league. His curveball, as Buck O'Neill would say, he had the greatest curveball the sport has ever seen. Mm-hmm. My dear friend, the late great Hall of Famer Monty Irvin would say that you could know his curveball was coming and the break on it was so sharp that you still couldn't hit it. But like you just referenced, when he wasn't pitching for the Monarchs, he played the outfield and won the Triple Crown in 38. And he is just one great example of the stars that were two-way stars in the Negro League. Here's the funny thing about it. Hilton Smith was cut from his Prairie View A&M baseball team. That's like the guy who cut Michael Jordan in high school.
Yeah.
Right.
And Hilton was playing on a town team there and pitched against the Prairie View team and was mowing them down. And the coach said, well, who is that? The kid said, that's the guy you cut.
We are talking with Bob Kendrick, president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. It is a must visit. Like, if you go out there for a Red Sox game, you have to get down to 18th and Vine area. Now, part of the story, Bob, is we met here in Boston. I shared earlier with the Traveling Museum. My next stop would be in Kansas City during mornings there for about 5 or 6 years where I was able to further my relationship with you, the late, great Buck, and got some great dating advice from Buck. I'll give up the ghost. You know, so it's just the greatest picture I have in my collection is my arm around Buck and my and Buck's arm around the statue of Satchel Paige. And for me, yeah, it's a way of saying, having you today is a way of saying thank you for having me get through a lot of crazy times when I was there, but to see the growth that's happening and the truth be told, we haven't spoken in probably 15 years, but the stories that have jumped out, and this is what I want to lead to, is one, Geddy Lee from Rush really providing so much towards the museum that it became such a bigger story than what it had been. And two, Major League Baseball integrating the story of the Negro Leagues into the game, which has now gone even further with MLB The Show 2024. Can you talk about those two things?
Yeah, those are significant moments that have certainly helped bolster the growth of the museum. And as you can well imagine, I get visitors from all over the world, but particularly my Canadian fans who walk in and they see the Geddy Lee collection. And they all are kind of raising an eyebrow. And they look at me like, you mean the Geddy Lee? And I'm like, yes, the Geddy Lee.
That's right.
Former lead singer, bass guitarist of the legendary Hall of Fame Canadian rock group Rush donated a significant collection of single sign Negro League player autographed baseballs. And Geddy, as many folks know today, is a huge baseball fan. You can see him at Toronto Blue Jay games still today, sitting behind home plate, keeping score. But at that time, unbeknownst to us, he was also a huge sports memorabilia, still is, huge sports memorabilia collector, just sold a significant portion of his collection. And so Rush was playing a concert here in Kansas City several years ago. He had a friend that lived here and said, I'm going to take you by to see the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And like most who visit the museum, he fell in love with the museum. Well, after leaving, this collection of single-signed Negro League player autographed baseballs come up in an auction, and he decided that he would bid on them with the hope and intent of winning them so he could donate them back to the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Now, mind you, we had no idea that any of this was going on. His office calls and says, Geddy Lee has a few baseballs he'd like to donate. Would you all like to have them? Well, naturally, we said yes. But, man, I'm thinking three or four that he might have picked up somewhere. Guys, it turned out to be 200. He has since donated an additional lot of 200, now giving the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum one of the largest collections of single-signed Negro League player autographed baseballs anywhere in the world, and it's all due to the benevolence of one Geddy Lee, a white Canadian rocker. Yeah, you can't make this stuff up, man. It's too good. It is too good. And then you mentioned MLB The Show. MLB The Show and our partnership with Sony on this venture to include the Negro Leagues in the Gamebuster video game MLB The Show has literally been game-changing for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. Guys, it is one of the biggest things we've ever done, and who knew that it would be a video game? But the gaming community has completely embraced the inclusion of the Negro Leagues. They are not only learning about these legendary stars of baseball's past, but they are falling in love with these athletes. But when you stop to think about it, who better than the players in the Negro Leagues to be in a video game? The way they played the game was video game-esque. And so Sats was supposed to be in a video game. And now the power of Josh Gibson, the almost mythical-like power of Josh Gibson. But as I tell folks, the power was real. Yeah, no, it was very real. And so millions of young people and young adults have embraced this. And they're learning this history. And that excites me because as a museum, as a history museum in particular, cultural institution, my job is how do we make this history relevant to what is happening in the lives of young people today? And to go to them where they are, utilizing a mode and medium in which they're accustomed to getting their information and engaging with, and they're being entertained at the same time. And it is taking hold, and they're taking it to heart. And this has been such an exciting endeavor for me because I'm in the video game telling stories.
Yes.
And who I never thought ever that I would be in a video game of any kind. And it's almost made me a household name in the gaming community because kids, scores and scores of young people came to the museum last summer because they saw the museum in a video game and fellas, they wanted to meet the guy who was telling the story in the video game.
Wow. We're talking with Bob Kendrick, the president of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And Bob, the mode last year in MLB The Show, I really enjoyed it because it taught me some things. Like, I knew who Jackie Robinson was. I knew who Satchel Paige was. But I didn't really know who Martin DeHigo was. I didn't know much about Hilton Smith. And I learned about these guys. And I also flat out had fun playing the game mode last year. Now that it's going to be back for a second year in MLB The Show 24, is it structured in a similar way? Have you made any tweaks to it? What can you tell us about the game mode in this year's game?
Well, first and foremost, there are additional players that will be added to the game, and so there'll be more stories that are shared, more backstories, more stories about the history of the Negro Leagues. It is also a tribute to the Black press. And the Black press, fellas, were instrumental in really voicing this history. Had it not been for the work of the Black press, we would know very little about the history of the Negro Leagues. They were there to document it. Mainstream media would occasionally print a box score, and that's all you were going to get. And so we wanted to make this year's edition of MLB The Show, which is thematically called Printed History, a tribute to the Black press. And, of course, the addition of what will ultimately be 10 Negro League players. The first four were just recently introduced and will be a part of the game when the game is officially released on March 19th. And six additional players will be added as the year goes along. And so this is very, very exciting. Of course, the four players that were already introduced, Josh Gibson, his Thunder Twin teammate Buck Leonard, Henry Aaron, but Henry Aaron as a member of the Indianapolis Clowns, which is going to surprise a lot of people. Yeah, Henry Aaron was a skinny, cross-handed hitting shortstop playing for the Indianapolis Clowns in 1952 before he was signed away by then the Boston Braves, who of course would become the Milwaukee Braves, who then would become the Atlanta Braves, and before this kid from Mobile, Alabama, would eventually go down in this sport as one of his all-time greatest players. It began for him in 1952 in the Negro Leagues with the Indianapolis Clowns. And then the person who took his roster place after he was signed by the Braves, a woman by the name of Toni Stone, the first woman player to be added to MLB The Show. So we're breaking barriers on several fronts. Toni Stone would join the Indianapolis Clowns in 1953, becoming one of three women to play professionally with and against the men regularly in the Negro Leagues. And so, needless to say, we are tremendously excited about this next iteration of the game and the continuation of sharing this history and the profoundness of this history with the gaming community. And, man, I have been thrilled at how many educators have reached out to me. Yes. And they are now incorporating the video game into their class curriculum as a way to teach history because, again, it's education, it's entertaining, it's engaging. And that is what grabs the imagination of our young people. You retain this kind of information because you're engaging with it. And I can say it. That's why I'm out in San Francisco today, next week, early part of next week. The video game is being honored for how we're using the video game to teach history. And that's something that we are tremendously proud of. I can't even overstate, again, how vitally important this partnership has been for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
I can't understate how proud I am. And I'm almost in tears here. I've seen the growth. I remember the days where you'd have to be closed one day a week. And here we are, second year, MLB The Show. Bob, give everybody the information of how they can visit the Negro Leagues Museum. They've got a stop over at the new airport in Kansas City. If they've got a day, they can come visit. What's the website? How can they get in contact? How can they come visit? What is the requirements or if anything in terms of, you know, large groups and so forth?
Yeah, no, please, for those of you there in that Boston area in particular, and congratulations to my dear friend Joe Castiglione,
yes,
on being inducted into the Writers' Wing of the National Baseball Hall of Fame.
Credit to Joe.
He is incredible. He has been such a strong advocate of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum and a dear friend of mine for many years. He brings a group from the Red Sox religiously every year. The club comes to town. And so y'all come and join Joe when the Sox are in town to play my Royals. You can visit us online at www.nlbm.com to learn about the hours. If you're so inclined to support our efforts to build this new Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, the campaign is called Pitch for the Future. And just to learn general information about everything that's happening, you're right, Kansas City is on the roll, on a major roll. We just opened the first women's professional sports stadium in the country. Right. Today with the Kansas City Current.
Getting close with the Patrick Mahomes reference there, Bob, but we're okay. Yeah, I think you're right.
So there's a lot of great things happening in Kansas City, and the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, though, is the one that is most near and dear to my heart. So please come and see us. You will not be disappointed. If you are a fan of American history, you're going to love the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. If you're a fan of the underdog overcoming adversity to go on to greatness, you're going to love the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. But as you both know, if you are a baseball fan to boot, as we say in the country in Georgia, you're going to be in hog heaven. Yeah, it is the best of all those worlds. So please make plans to come see us. Again, the website is www.nlbm.com. And you can follow me on both Twitter, well, I guess it's X now, and Instagram at NLBMPrez, P-R-E-Z. And I'm also sharing the happenings there at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Mr. Bob Kendrick, thank you for joining KJ and Lyons here on WEEI. Brother, it is so good to talk to you after this time.
Man, it's my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. We really appreciate it.
All right. Oh, yeah. MLB The Show 24 out Tuesday. John, I can't wait when they start to delve into the element of the Ernie Banks stories, you know, the Willie Mays story, that these guys, this is where they played first.
Yeah, and that was something that, like, when they talked about Jackie Robinson in last year's game, Satchel Paige, it's like, no, this is where they started. I'll just say, for me personally, like, I'm one of those people, we usually with sports video games, I buy them once every 2 years because, right, you know, they only really make huge changes to rosters every couple years or so, and I don't play it enough.
Download the roster some kid makes, right?
I don't play it enough to just, but because of this game mode, in large part, I'm going to be getting MLB The Show in back-to-back years because I enjoyed playing that first season of it last year so much. I cannot wait to play the second season of it this year, and it feels like they're going to take all the elements that were great last year and they're going to add some new faces to it as well. So I'm really excited to not only get the game, but specifically to play that game mode.
John, I have to apologize. I forgot to ask Bob if he can swing us a couple of codes for Xbox.
That's okay.
Get to the ultimate. But,
you know, you can ask him off the air. Yeah.
You're killing it for me here. But, thank you so much for being here with KJ and Lyons on WEEI. We still got to talk dynasty. Things that aren't happening with the Patriots. There's so much going on with the football team. We're going to tackle that until we get out of here. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, thanks so much for hanging out.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Dum-ba-dum. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to your text shortly. John, I have to apologize. They say there's no crying in baseball, but I shed a tear in that last segment just because how much Bob and Buck and the people at the Negro Leagues Museum mean to me. On a personal standpoint, it was like an honor for me to have him on, and I've known him for like 20 years.
Yeah, it's funny because I had, like I said, I did a podcast with him about a year or so, not even quite a year ago, to be honest. And then today, he really is one of the best storytellers in sports. And seeing the progress from where this is something that, okay, it was a one-room museum, if you even want to call it a museum, it was a one-room exhibit.
Office. Yep.
And then it went to a museum, and now it's something that, as he said, in the gaming community, he's a household name, but so are so many of the players that are in the game are now household name. Like, it's one of those things. Like, I'm not trying to give a commercial here for him, but I truly enjoyed playing the Negro Leagues mode in MLB The Show last year. It was fun. I learned something, but it was like, it wasn't like I was sitting there in class learning something. It was like in a fun way. It was just really enjoy. And I'm happy, too, because I think it's an important story to tell. You know, and he's talked before about how the Negro League stopped in 1960. What's the legacy of it now, 64 years later? It's the American spirit, right? They overcame, they weren't allowed to play. They made their own league. They overcame, and they not just made their own league, they made an elite level baseball. You look at the guys, there's Hall of Fame players in the Negro Leagues, well-deserved Hall of Famers. So,
well, even if you look at some of the players that would come later, your Reggie Jackson, your Dave Parkers, your Jim Rices, all of these guys, these are who their fathers told their tales to them.
Yeah.
So that way when Jackie gets to the league, these are already things that are embedded in them. And I believe, and I've been on this soapbox before, if you want to see more young black kids playing baseball again, this is going to be the way that's done. It's through the video game. It's what baseball has been missing. Its greatest victories and the money they've made the most has when there's been a more diverse pool of talent. You know, I'm telling you don't miss people stealing 100 bases in a season. Like, I mean, the split screen used to be everything in baseball. Like, dude's got 2 feet on the carpet.
Yeah, and Bob made a great point that there's so many kids now that come to the museum because they play the game and they know who he is and they know who some of these folks are. And like I said, if I hadn't played that game mode, there were some of those guys I to this day probably wouldn't know who they were, to be honest.
Oh, man.
And now, but now I'm glad that I do. And it's nice to see that for the next generation of baseball fans as well.
All right. Well, we're talking about some of the great names in one league. How come no great names in the NFL league seem to be coming to the Patriots? And I have to ask you, John, do you think it's the talent or the paying? What do you think it is?
So I've had a longstanding philosophy that in most sports, and especially the NFL, if you want to attract free agents, you have to have one of two things, and preferably both. You either have to be a winning team or you got to pay a bunch of money, right? And for many years, the Patriots were a winning team, year in and year out Super Bowl contender, and they still paid high money at times. You know, Adelius Thomas, Stephon Gilmore, they were still willing to do it at times. But the primary draw was, hey, you got the best coach in the league, the best quarterback in the league, a bunch of other great teammates. You know, you can compete for a Super Bowl every single year. Now they're obviously not that anymore, pretty far removed. So they're really going to have to offer the most money to guys, at least for a little while, to get some of these guys here. We saw it in 2021, right? They offered Hunter Henry and Matt Judon the most money. Those guys came here and have been good parts of the team. And I think we saw, like, Calvin Ridley, for example, they offered him a lot of money, but they didn't offer him the most. So he went somewhere else that he got more money. And it's probably, I mean, Titans and Patriots is probably 6-1, half dozen the other as far as who's going to win more games. They're in similar spots, but one offered more money. So I think right now with the Patriots not being that winning team, I think they're just going to have to outspend teams if there's certain guys they want to get.
617-779-7937 text line. Let's go to Stephen Fall River. I would love to hear the people tell why they believe that free agents are slow or non-existent coming to New England. Steve, thanks. You're on KJ Lawrence.
Well, let's go back to the big free agency splash of 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Someone was asked, hey, Joe Blow, why'd you pick the Patriots? And he made a great response. Remember what his response was?
No, because I feel like this is an Amtrak train going at 20 miles an hour. Like,
He said the Patriots picked me, meaning they paid him the most money. That's where the Patriots are at. They're going to have to pay more money than the next team. I'm very happy with these tackles that they signed to burden up, to you know, burnish this offensive line. And I'm hoping that they get out of their head that they have to pick a first-round guy on the offensive line. And I want you to help me out. I just want to talk about this Jacoby Brissett. Did we basically replace Mac Jones with Jacoby Brissett? Is that what the Patriots
essentially
did?
Yeah.
So Steve, okay, hang up, so and we'll hang up so we can get
no,
to your
no,
question.
No, let me make my point.
Well, no.
No, time. I didn't get
Steve,
my question yet.
We got to go, Steve. I mean, you had like 2 minutes. Yeah, I mean, that's why I said you got to get that Amtrak train moving. Well, Jacoby Brissett, I think, John, is the answer to the question before the final answer, right? He's not going to be the long-term quarterback.
Yeah, I think he's the guy that I'm assuming they pick a guy at 3 overall. If that guy's significantly better than Jacoby, fine, he'll start the season. But I think ideally they would like Jacoby Brissett to play anywhere from 8 games to the whole season, and then the rookie takes over after that. I think that's kind of the scenario they're looking at. He has experience doing things like that, so I think that's really what we're kind of looking at here.
Jacoby is what they should have done in the Mac Jones, Cam Newton situation. I don't think Jacoby Brissett is coming to play a full season. I'm with you. Maybe 8 games?
Yeah, I would say unless, and the only caveat I'll give you, and I think this is what happened with Cam and Mac, is if the rookie comes in and he's just significantly better than Jacoby in training camp. And part of that was Cam had to miss time. I know Cam was injured and older, but if the rookie, like, let's just call it Drake May, just throw a name out there. If he comes in and he's way better than Jacoby Brissett, then I think he'll play. But if it's close, I think they're going to lean with Jacoby Brissett. And we also have to answer, like, what are they going to do on the offensive line as well? Like, they re-signed Mike Onwenu, but they don't have an answer at left tackle right now.
But that's not what people are crying about. They're saying, why are there no big play names coming? I think people can generally say, yeah, we don't want to overpay for a running back. Like, Derrick Henry would not be something people would be like, oh, yeah, we had to go get him. You would say, you might have overpaid for him. But with the Ridley thing, and then you hear people saying, well, trade for T. Higgins. You think T. Higgins is going to stand right up and say, well, gosh, if they didn't give Calvin Ridley the money and I'm going to ask for more money than Calvin Ridley got, they're not paying me. T. Higgins won't be coming here. I think it's one of those situations where, and this is where I side with what the Patriots are doing. I think you have to be quiet on the free agent stuff and put all your eggs into a basket of potentially getting the number one pick. I think you have to make that effort right now, because you bet better to choose the quarterback that you absolutely want than to have to settle for the one that's left.
When you say number one pick, so you're talking about them trading up from 3 to 1?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
I could see that. I think this is what's going on. This is why I think Justin Fields is still in Chicago. Chicago has so much cachet right now that they're probably on the phone with both the Patriots and the Commanders, because those are the two places they have to. They don't have a quarterback on the roster. They don't. I mean, yeah, Jacoby Brissett is here, but no one's saying this is the guy for the next 3 years. So those are two teams that absolutely want to go get the guy they want to go get. That's why I think this whole Justin Fields story is being tossed around that he's going, because if you can get the best negotiation from Washington or the Patriots to get to one, I mean, the worst situation you come out is you end up at 2 and you still have 9, or you end up at 3 and you still have 9.
And my thing is, like, look, they had major needs going into free agency at quarterback, left tackle, and receiver. And I figure quarterback's going to be that guy they pick in the top 5 this year at 3 overall, or if they trade up to 1, like you say. Like, that's going to be where they... So I wanted them to go into the draft having either left tackle or receiver figured out. And they haven't figured out receiver. They don't have anything at left tackle. Like, to me, the name that frustrates me the most they missed is not Calvin Ridley, it's Jonah Williams. Like, that could have been a guy who was a really good left tackle for the Bengals in 2021 and 2022 before they moved his position last year. The Cardinals, who are a bad team, signed him for 2 years at $20 million. Like, the Patriots could have afforded that, put him at left tackle, and at least you would have had a serviceable to pretty good guy there. And then you could go into the draft and say, well, hey, with that 34 pick, we're going to use it to trade for or draft a receiver and solve that kind of hopefully there. And then you have some flexibility later in the draft. But we're sitting here right now a few days into it, KJ, and we know they're probably going to take quarterback high. But as far as those other two needs, they haven't given us any real answers.
I'll tell you why they couldn't even make a move like that. That's next. We'll continue the Patriots talk. We'll get to your call, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937, the final hour of KJ and Lions, next on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.